The deal to merge two giant stock exchanges is in doubt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European officials are reportedly on the verge of blocking a deal to create the world's biggest stock exchange. Reuters and other news outlets say regulators there will block the multi-billion dollar merger between the New York Stock Exchange and its German counterpart. Those regulators reportedly cite antitrust concerns. From the Marketplace European desk, here's Stephen Beard.
This mega deal has been in trouble for months. What worries the regulators most is that the merged company would dominate the market for complex financial products called derivatives. The Financial Times in London says the regulators are now ready to block the deal unless the NYSE and Deutsche Börse sell off some of the derivative businesses. Both companies have refused. Quentin Webb is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says this deal is just one of a recent wave of planned mergers between stock exchanges in different countries, and most of the others have been blocked.
If this were to fall over too, the message to exchanges would be don't take any risks with deals that might fall foul either of trustbusters or of politicians looking to protect their home turf.
The European regulator says it will not publish its decision until next month. The NYSE and Deutsche Börse are reported to be lobbying furiously. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower right now, 0.5% or more. Asia, though, was higher today. The number of bank failures was down in 2011 in this country. The information services firm SNL Financial counted 92 banks and thrifts that were closed by federal regulators last year. That's down from 157 in 2010. Luxury jeweler Tiffany & Company says sales were sluggish during the holidays and its growth slowed. Wall Street yesterday, markets added more than 0.5%. The Dow was up 69 points to close at 12,462. In Iraq this week, more violence. Roadside bombs killed one person and injured more than a dozen others. And security forces there are fighting to keep order after the vast majority of U.S. troops pulled out at the end of the year. Christopher Hill is former ambassador to Iraq. He was also U.S. Assistant Secretary of State, where he helped negotiate with North Korea over its nuclear weapons ambitions. And he's with us now to talk about the economic futures of both countries. Ambassador Hill, welcome to Marketplace.
My pleasure.
Now, we've seen some violence in Iraq of late, ever since American troops pulled out of Iraq in December. What does that mean, do you think, for the country's economic future?
Well, first of all, I think the country has a pretty good economic future. As you know, they opened these oil service leases to the international oil companies, including with Exxon and BP and Shell. There are a lot of companies in there doing big infrastructure projects, including oil pipeline deals, highways, etc. The problem with the country is they have never sorted out this Sunni-Shia rift. It's a country where the Sunni world meets the Shia world, and it hasn't been easy to sort out.
Oil exports, of course, is Iraq's economy. That's what it's all about. Is there, do you think, a more diversified economy down the pike?
Well, I think there certainly is. I mean, in terms of Middle East agriculture, I think Iraq has really something to offer. But under Saddam Hussein, like just about everything else, that also kind of atrophied. For now, I think the economy is very oil-focused, but in the longer run, I think you'll see it more diversified.
You spent a lot of time in North Korea to lead the U.S. delegation aimed at solving this nuclear crisis. And how do you think that the economy will fare under Kim Jong-un?
The Chinese are always suggesting to the North Koreans, you've got to do what we did, which is open up the economy, get foreign investors in. The North Koreans, I think, are pretty reluctant to do that. And they're reluctant because as soon as North Koreans see what is out there, they'll see that there's a lot better world out there, and that would be the end of this funny little country. So I wish, for the sake of those 22 million people, that they too had a kind of North Korean spring.
Chris Hill is the former ambassador to Iraq. Ambassador Hill, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance. With Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
The maker of Twinkies and Wonder Bread, Hostess Brands, today filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company just emerged from bankruptcy back in September. And as Marketplace's Adrian Hill tells us, there's another name for a company that files bankruptcy twice.
Who says that bankruptcy experts don't have a sense of humor? You've heard about Chapter 11. How about Chapter 22?
It's a made-up term. It doesn't have any real meaning in the law or anywhere else. And it's somewhat of a joke based on firms going into Chapter 11 two times. So 2 times 11 is 22.
Edie Hotchkiss is a finance professor at Boston College's Carroll School of Management. There are a few Chapter 33s.
I think there may even be a Chapter 44 out there.
Companies bounce in and out of Chapter 11 for a couple of reasons. Sometimes it's an industry issue, downturns causing trouble. Hotchkiss says airlines are a good example of that. Other times, that first Chapter 11 filing creates a tough path forward.
The companies that emerge from the first Chapter 11 emerge weak.
Stephen Walt is a law professor at UVA. He says companies often leave bankruptcy with a whole lot of debt, making it that much easier to get in trouble a second or third or even fourth time. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a New York City woman who wanted to get out of going to work faces forgery charges. She was arrested this week and charged with concocting a jury duty summons she'd given her boss. But the boss noticed the summons was rife with spelling errors, which clued him in that the supposed court document was fake. Trial was spelled trail, T-R-A-I-L. Manager was spelled manger. You'd think she'd be a better speller since the woman is a school teacher. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's expensive to run a political campaign. There's staff and ads don't come cheap, but be that as it may, money is still no guarantee.
I tell candidates, it's always better to be the candidate with the most money, but you can win without it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, money and politics a la Freakonomics. The numbers from Wall Street as well. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.